morning. Today's Daven Babakama is Sadi Zion. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf Daf as long as Zichron Nishmas Libra Gabriela Bashmuel. When Sadi Vav Amin Aleph, we're at the two dots. We're going to start today with the words Amar Rava. Yesterday in the Daf, we spent time dedicated to the topic of a Gazlan. And if there's any type of Shevach, if there's any type of the growth, so what is the responsibility, the obligation of the Gazlan to pay back? Obviously, if the Gazlan wants to do tshuva veheshev as exila, the Torah requires the Gazlan to return the item which he stole, but in terms of Shevach, so what is the absolute requirement? So as we learned yesterday, there were three opinions in the Braisa, Reb Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, in terms of what exactly is a requirement in terms of the return of Shevach. Reb Meir, as we already discussed at length, says that you have to return back everything. Shevach, not only Shevach that is actually still connected to the animal, but even Shevach that's disconnected from the animal, you have to return everything back. As the Gemara concluded, that was a kanas. Rav Yehuda's position, which is the Mishnah, which is the accepted halacha, is that if the Shevach is connected to the animal, so that needs to be returned. The Shevach that once it's disconnected, so that's what's considered a shinui, and that does not need to be returned. And then there was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and yesterday also we discussed, the Gemara spent some time discussing the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, exactly how he differentiates himself from Rabbi Yehuda. There were two opinions amongst the Amoraim, Rav Zvid, Rav Papa, in terms of what exactly separates Rabbi Shimon from Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, what we certainly come out from yesterday's daf, and it's going to be a continuation of today's daf as well, is this idea that when you have a gzela and you're returning the item, so the shevach needs to be returned as well. In terms of a reimbursement of the shevach, that was the end of yesterday's daf. We talked about the lien holder. The lien holder exercises his lien. A land was stolen from him, and a land was stolen from him and then sold to somebody else. So in terms of that sale, the sale was sold with achrayus. So that means that the buyer now is responsible to make good on the sale if anything happened to the sale, and something did happen to the sale, and that is the original owner came and he took it. So in terms of what kind of reimbursement can the lokeach get, so we talked about that yesterday, where Shmuel had two differing viewpoints in terms of what he's entitled to in terms of reimbursement. And then the Gemara went and sized up when Shmuel says that you can get a reimbursement, when you cannot. And that was also part of yesterday's Gemara as well. We are starting the Gemara with the words Amar Rava. It's two dots in Sadi Vav and Aleph. It's two lines before the lines become wide. Amar Rava Gazal v'Yishbiach Umachar. V'Gazal v'Yishbiach V'Horish. So let's say a person steals land, and he improves the land, and he sells the land. Or he steals the land, he improves the land, and then he dies, and it goes to the Yerusha, goes to the next generation. Okay. Now Rashi over here, when he explained...
Because land can't
leave when it's stolen. Okay, excellent correction. And yes, you're right. And right, very good. So the mashi yishbiach macher, mashi yishbiach horish. So that which he was, so the shevach itself that improved, he sold. The shevach improved is actually going to be inherited. Now, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says mashi yishbiach macher. Rashi writes v'shakal lokech mechza o shlish o revia. So now in terms of the lokech is able to take either a half, a third, or a quarter. Meaning, what Rashi's doing over here, it's interesting, is Rashi's explaining the Gemara according to Rabbi Shimon. And not just according to Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rav Papa's understanding of Rabbi Shimon. Oh, inami, Rashi also gives another pshat as well. Kulei shivcha kimasnisa. Maybe they took on a sashavim. Or maybe no, maybe it's all the shevach. And following the opinion of our Mishnah, what's known as takana shavim is that you stole a beam, you built it into the house, so you have just thrown in a ton of work into that beam that you stole, even though you could deconstruct your house and you could return the beam, but the chachamim gave the guy a little bit of a pass so that he could just make restitution on the beam. He doesn't have to actually give the beam back. So, okay, and so one of two ways to explain the Gemara, either way, point being, is that we have a general institution where we try to make it easier for the Gazlan. And that is that if he puts Shevach in, so he keeps it, according to Rashi, either part of it or all of it. Either way, point is that that was a special takana that was made for the Gazlan so that it will help promote him do tshuva. By Rava, now that we've established that, so Rava says, And just to finish the sentence, and that means now that if the sale is sold, obviously the nigzal, the victim, can take back the original, but the buyer can keep the shevach. And if it's passed on to the next generation, same halacha. Meaning the buyer, the nigzal, the victim, can take back the item, but the... But the shevach remains by the yoresh, by Rava. Now with all that in mind, Rava is going to ask the following question: Tishbiach lokeach mahu? What if the lokeach was mashbiach? Okay, now it gets interesting because now it's not the thief who put the improvement in. Thief stole it. Thief now sold it to somebody, and that somebody put the improvement in. So now we understand that the whole institution of not returning the shevach is to try to promote tshuva. But here it's not the gazlan who did that. It's the buyer. Okay, so now the question gets interesting. So, Babasa, the buyer, the Pashto, the Gemara says, yeah, it's an interesting question, but the answer he says is, I think, very clear. And that is, Mamacha Rishon Lasheni called Chushitav Liyado. An idea that comes up again and again throughout Shas, especially in the Bavas, is that's the following. Is that when you sell something, whatever rights you had, you're selling those rights as well. So, in other words, you sell an item, and the rights you had in that item. Since the Gazlan, I know it's funny, we're talking about Gazlan rights, but... they are. Since the Gazlan had the right that if he would have put improvement, he would be able to get the Shevach, same thing is going to be true regarding the Lokeach. If he sells it to somebody, that Lokeach has the same rights, where if he, even though it's stolen goods, and even though obviously it needs to be returned back to its original owner, but if he were to put improvement, he would be able to keep the improvements as well.
But there was a reason for the Gazlan.
That's why the question was good.
Right.
That made the question interesting. But the Gemara then said, yes, it's good, and yes, the reason doesn't transfer over, but the zchus transfers over. By Rav, the Rav it says, okay, shbechav v'kolchav emal. Let's say who's the Gazlan? The Gazlan here is the guy. So this is a special institution, Takanas Hashavim. So we want to promote other Jews to do tshuva. But we don't have this. We don't have this takana by guy. So Amalei Ravachem Midiftel Ravina Takantol Avikochavim Neko VeNaved. So the Gemara dismisses the question with a simple question. Well, we don't. This institution was not made for a guy. This institution was made for a Jew. So Amalei Lo Tzricha Kagon Dezavne LeYisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, well, here's what happened. The guy stole it. The guy sold it to a Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, that doesn't. It's not a question. It's not that interesting. So haba machmas avikochavim, hariko avikochavim. No, previously the question was great because the Jew was the Gazlan and he had a right to keep the shevach. And so when he sells that right. But over here, the guy is the one who stole it. So we don't manufacture izchus if the guy is the one who stole it and he didn't have this right to keep the shevach. So then the buyer also doesn't have a right as well. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's not even open for discussion as well. So the Gemara says, okay, here's where the question becomes interesting. And difficult. So the Gemara says, and it's a complex ish, it's a complex case. We're talking about where the Jew stole it, sold it to a guy. Guy improved it. Guy sold it to a Jew. And so now, basically, ultimately, on one hand, you have the Jew stealing it. On the other hand, you have the second buyer, which is a Jew. So my name, I'm going to give it to me. So on one hand, do we look at the bookends? Jew stole, Jew second buyer, and so therefore there's a takana where that second buyer is allowed to keep the shevach. Or maybe no, maybe the fact that there's a guy in the middle, and again, once the guy is the first buyer, he buys it from the Gazlan, he doesn't have that takana, he doesn't get to keep the shevach, so maybe he interrupts that takana when it's then sold to the second buyer who happens to be a Jew. Take the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Amar Rav Papa. Okay, from here until about the Mishnah, which is coming up on the Amud Beis, so the Gemara now is going to have discussions in terms of what defines a Shinui. Okay, we have learned in the beginning of the Perek, it has been the mantra since Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, the beginning of the ninth Perek, and that's Shinui Kona. That once you make an irrevocable change in an item, so then you acquire the item. You stole the item, you've now acquired the item. Obviously, you have to make restitution on the item, but you now are the owner of that item through Shinui, through a change, through a physical change in the item. Now, the Gemara over here is going to be very detailed in terms of what defines itself as a change. So let's say a person steals a palm tree and from his friend, and he cuts the palm tree. Now, you're stealing a palm tree, so what does that mean? So, right, it's... it's connected to the ground. So obviously what that means is that you uprooted the palm tree and the afakav deshajim yara lara diday. And what you did is replanted in your property. So lo kani, so that is not a kinyan, says the Gemara. My taima, mikara dikla mikre v'hasha nami dikla mikre. Because it was a palm tree, it's still a palm tree. It didn't go through enough of a change in order to warrant it to be a kinyan. The says Tosfos, third to bottom Tosfos on the Amud, you know, it's not true by animals, meaning if you have an animal and you kill the animal, so that's a kinyan, meaning that's not even open for discussion. So over here, when you cut the palm tree, aren't you killing the palm tree? So Tosfos, afagab de gaza behem of a katle kane, hasnam havishina demikar tve. So Tosfos notes, it's not the same, right? We're not talking about the same loss of life. Yes, the tree has some life to it, but it's not the same as an animal. So it's cutting of the tree, and also when you're replanting the tree, it's almost like tchias amesim, right? You can't do that with an animal after you kill it. Okay, so which is really what Tosfos is saying. Okay, fine. So dikla v'avi gubi. So now the Gemara is going to basically try to give a precise definition of what is exactly the point of shinui. So let's say dikla. Let's say you stole somebody's palm tree v'avi gubi and you logged it. But you didn't cut up into beams. You just basically turned into logs. So lo kani hashemia gubi de dikla mikre. The Gemara says that's not enough of a change to render a shinui. Gubi v'avdinu kishure kani. Now let's say it's logs and then kani, and then you made it into beams, and so that is absolutely a shinui, and therefore your kona kishure ravave v'avdinu kishure zotre lo kani. Now let's say there were big beams and you cut it down to smaller beams. Okay, so 4x4 and you made them 2x4s, 2x4s. So the Gemara says that's not going to be enough. That's not enough of a shinui. Avdina kitsutsayhu kane. Now, if you made it into kitsutsayhu, in other words, you made it into, Rashi says krashim. So, in other words, really, really thin. That's my impression of what change we're going on. We're going from very large beams to basically thin boards. So the Gemara says that's a change. That's a physical change. Amar Rav Haiman de Galzul Lulave. Let's say a person steals a lulav. Lulav over here is a frond. A frond of a palm tree. Ve'avdinu hutzei. And what he did is he made it into hutzei. So what he did is that from the palm frond, he basically took off every leaf from the palm frond. So kani. So that is for sure kingdom. Mikar lulav mikre. Ve'hashta hutzei. And now it's hutzei. In other words, it goes by a different name. And that different name is a reflection of the fact that it's a different item. And therefore, that's a shinu, and therefore your kona. Let's say that you are now just have the palm leaves, and you made into a chufya. Chufya, so if you know Spanish, you know French, so you'll recognize the Rashi, right? Tascuba. So it's a broom. So you took the palm fronds and you turned it into a broom. Kani. So in that, your kona. Rashi says over here on our daf, because, and if you ever play around with your lulav, you'll know this to be the case, that every leaf on the palm, and we live in Florida, so you should know this, every leaf on the palm is really two leaves pressed together, connected on one of the edges. And so when you turn, taking the palm leaves and turning it into a broom, so you have to separate every leaf into two. So that is an irrevocable change, and that is therefore kinyan. Now the Gemara here is talking about the name change. Again, the name change in the context of this Gemara seems to be that it's just simply a reflection of the fact that it's a different item. Okay, what if you took now the leaves of a palm, which you already separated into two, because it was chufya, and what you did is you made some sort of rope out of it. So you wove it into a rope. So the Gemara says, lo kani, that's not enough of the kinyan, my tama, tahado sasolei. Because there you can untie it, so it's undoable, it's not irrevocable, okay, it is reversible, and so therefore you're not kona. V'havi chufya. Okay, by Rav Papa Nechlika Tiyomas Mahu. What if the top leaf on the lulav has split? Okay, there's a Tosfos over here, right? I pick on the little Tosfos, and they're easy to cover. There's a Tosfos over here, the second last Tosfos on the Amud, talking exactly about what the Tiyomas is. Tosfos over here discusses it. Open up the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah, and you're going to see Tosfos over there, right? Similar discussion. You compare the two Tosfosim. But anyway, the For our purposes, let's say right now that the top leaf on the lulav has split. Then nechlekat yamas ma'u tashma damer rav maso namer rav Yoshua ben Levi nitla tiyamas pasul. Well, the Gemara says, I know this. I know that if you were to take off the tiyamas from the lulav, so then it's going to be pasul. The lulav is not going to be good. So, the Gemara says, my love, who are din lenechlika. So the Gemara makes an interesting leap. Well, if you took off the top tiyamas and the lulav is going to be pasul, I guess the same thing is going to be true. If you split the top leaf of the lulav, so therefore it's going to be pasul. Now again, our Gemara over here is not interested in sukkahs, lulav, kosher, pasul. Our Gemara over here is interested in whether or not it is considered a change in the item, where you, the Goslin, have acquired the item. So there may be different parameters in terms of what is kosher and pasul by lulav and sukkah versus what we're discussing over here, and that is change that creates a kinyan. So my love, who adin lenechlika lo nit lashanit. The Gemara says no, not necessarily. The Gemara makes the obvious distinction, which kind of makes you wonder what the Gemara was thinking. The Gemara makes the obvious distinction. There's a difference between taking off the top leaf versus just having a split in the top leaf as well. So the Gemara says, "Lo nit lashani da chaser la." And the Gemara spells out the obvious difference, and that is when you take off the top leaf, you're actually missing a piece of the lulav. That's chaser. Igadim. The Gemara now has another version of this very same discussion. Tashma damer of Masan amar of Yeshua ben Levi nechlekat yamas nasa kemi shenatla upasol. Taking off the tiyamas is as if you have removed it, and therefore it's pasul. So shema minam. That's interesting. In the Ikad Amri, the Gemara felt that there really is no difference. Meaning, the Hainuach, it really is one and the same thing. A split of the top leaf of the lulav will be the same thing as a removal of the top leaf of the lulav. Amar Papa Haiman de Gazo Afra Mechavre Va'avde Levinte. Let's say a person steals dirt from his friend and converts the dirt into a brick. Lo kani, that is not a kinyan maitama. Dehader Mashvale Afra. So, because what you could do is you could just simply crumble up the brick and turn it back into dirt again. So it's a reversible change. It's not a shinui. It's not kone. Levinte v'avde afra. What if you go in the other direction? I steal somebody's brick, and now I grind it up, and I reduce it down to just dirt. Kone. That's a kinyan. That direction is the kinyan. Interesting. Why? So the my amar dama hadavav le levinta. Now your argument is going to be, well, wait one second. I could just put it back into together again. I can fashion it into a brick once again. So the Gemara says no. Hi levinta achritahi upanim chadoshes balakan. That's a new brick, and that's a new brick. And the Gemara has the phrase. You'll hear this phrase a couple of times. Panim ba chadoshes balakan, brand new brick. And therefore, it's not the same. And therefore, it is a shinui. And therefore, you're going to be kona. V'amar papa haiman degazon nascha mechaver. Let's say a person steals a piece of metal. Right, nascha is not minted. It's just it's a bar. V'avale zuze. I'm sorry. V'avale zuze. And now he mints it. Right, he melts it, mints it, and turns it into a coin. So lokani. So there, that's not a kinyan. My taima hadavelu nascha, because you could just melt it down and return it back to the original metal. But zuzev avduna nascha. But let's go in the other direction. Let's say I steal somebody's coins, minted coins, and I melt it down, and it turns to nascha. Now that is a kinyan for the same exact argument we just provided by the brick. Once again, because even though yes, you could take the metal and you could remint the metal and turn it into a coin, but that's a new coin. And the Gemara's expression is panim chadashos balakan. It's a new entity. Let's say that it's a coin, but it's shchimi. Rashi shcharin kein yishenim. Right, an old coin. Right, you pick up an old coin. You know it's an old coin immediately, so it's tarnished. It's right. It's obviously tested. It's time tested. So the time worn. So if I take shchimah v'avdinu chadati, and basically now I try to make it new. So right, I polish it, I shine it. So that's not a kinyan because you can become easily tarnished once again. Chadati v'avdinu shchimi. However, if I take somebody's coin, which was a freshly minted coin, and it's clean and it's shiny, and what do? I tarnish it. I don't know. Time is a good way to tarnish something, right? Okay, but whatever. In other words, somehow I physically manipulate it so that I tarnish it. So that is a kinyan. The Gemara says, well, can't I just untarnish it? Can't I just shine it up? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, you cannot get something brand new again. Right? Ask any owner of a car, anything metal, anything metallic. In other words, you cannot get it to look good again. Like new, but not new. So the Gemara says, says, so that is an irrevocable change. The Mishnah concludes by saying that when you're a gazlan, and you make a change, and you acquire the item, you have to pay the item kishas gzela. But zeh haklal is always an inclusionary term, and so the Gemara picks up on that immediately. What is included in this phrase? Lasuya yemai lasuya hadam revelai ganav tlev nasa ayil. So let's say you steal a tlev. So, and it becomes an aisle. Now, the difference between Teleh and aisle is really not that much. Meaning, a Teleh is during the first year of the life. An aisle is during the second year of the life. So, as opposed to what we discussed earlier, where you steal an Evakanani and it becomes old, here, all it does is just go through one developmental stage of maturation. And that's enough to create a shinui, and that'll create a kinyan. Egel v'nasa shor, and we can do the same thing regarding a cow. In other words, you stole the egel, and while in your possession, it now went through one developmental stage of maturation, and it becomes now a shor. So now it's a shinui b'yad v'kano. So now that's a shinui, and your kone. And now, if you subsequently shechted the animal, tavachomacher shalahu tovech shalahu mocher, and that means now that if you shechted the animal, whose animal did you shecht? You shechted your animal. And so therefore you're not going to be liable for the dal vehe, as we discussed extensively in the 7th parak of Baba Kama. In order to be liable for the dal vehe, the animal still has to belong to the owner. How governed the gazapana de Torah mechavre? So the person stole a pair of oxen. Okay. And azo kravu karva, and he worked the oxen. Zarabahu Zara. So right, and the and now he was able to put seed in the field as a result of the plowing of the property. Lasofa Adrin Lamari, and then what he did is he returned it to the owner. Also coming to Rav Nachman, and he go to in front of Rav Nachman, Armalhu Zilu Shumu, Shivcha de Ashbach. So Rav Nachman says, okay, he benefited from those oxen and he's gotta pay. Amale Rava. So Rava says, wait one second. I don't understand that ruling whatsoever. Ture ishbach, arlo ishbach. Wait one second. The property was improved, but nothing changed regarding the oxen. And here's what we're learning right now, and this is interesting. And that is that when you rent something, obviously you have to pay for the rental. When you steal something, so if you make a physical change in the item itself, so your kona. But if you don't make a physical change in the item itself, it still belongs to the owner. And we're going to go even one step further. And this is where it gets interesting. And not only do you do you return the item to the owner, but if you benefited whatsoever from that item, so you don't have to pay for that benefit that you received from the item that you stole. Now, I know it seems a little bit unfair. Okay, I'm being nice when I say a little bit. I know it seems a little bit unfair that you stole an item. You worked the item. You figure, okay, it should have to pay the benefit you received. But no. In other words, when you're a gazlan, right? First of all, you stole. So the Torah says not to steal. You violated the Torah. But when you're in gazlan, you have certain kinyane gazela, which means that while in your possession, I have to say this as carefully as I can and as clearly as I can. While it's in your possession, so it's yours. Now again, yours not in the active possessive, meaning it doesn't belong to you. But while under your domain, while under your ownership, so therefore it works that you don't have to remunerate that benefit that you received.
So this is very consistent then with the opinion. If a cow is pregnant and you steal it, the baby is born, it's yours.
Well, in other words, it's shevach. Agreed. No, 100%. Meaning, this doesn't go against anything we learned previously. This is absolutely correct. You get to keep the shevach of the animal that you stole. So over here, as a gazlan, so if we're just talking about services, we're not even talking about, a physical addition. We're just talking about services. You don't have to pay for the services as well. And now, with that in mind, now we turn back to Rav Nachman, because the man stole the pair of oxen, worked the pair of oxen, and Rav Nachman says, okay, you got to pay. And what Rav is now, when he hears this, he says to himself, what? No, he doesn't have to pay. So the Gemara says, the land was improved, but nothing changed regarding the oxen. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava, Turi Ashbach, Aralo Ashbach, so Amar Mi Kamina Neshama Kulei Paga Kamina. So Rav Nachman says, no, I don't mean all of it, I just simply mean half. Amalei Sof Sof Gzelehi Vikahadra Be'enei. Did not call a Gazla Meshama Kshasa Gzela. So once again, Rav says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. Do you know how much the Goslin should be paying in addition to returning the item that he stole? Zero. Zero. That's how much you need to pay. So they right. He stole an ox. He gave back an ox. Okay, the story's over. So Rav Nachman finally lost his patience with Rav, and he says to him as follows: I'm right now sitting in the court. I'm issuing a ruling. Please do not disturb me. Meaning, you want an explanation later? That's fine. But right now is not the time to disturb me. To Amar Huna Chavein Eli Anavish Ramaka Achai Bedina. So. The Huna Chavre says regarding me together with Shvormaka. Shvormaka is a reference to Shmuel. Shmuel went by the term Shvormaka. He was a king in the sense that when Shmuel issued a ruling, nobody challenged, nobody questioned. Shmuel was, especially when it comes to Mamonos, Shmuel was the authority. So the Gemara says, and similarly says Rav Nachman, I'm the same. So, hi inish gazlana atikahu ubeina de iknase. So, Rav Nachman now has explained to Rava, you're right, but so am I. Meaning that, yes, a gazlan does not have to pay for anything above than returning the gzela that he stole. And yes. But right now, don't bother me because it happens to be that this particular person who stole is somebody who is a recurring criminal, right? He's been doing it time and again, and enough already with this guy. And so therefore, I'm going to go above the letter of the law in order to find him. And Rav Nachman obviously had the power to do so, the wherewithal to do so. Normally, they don't impose a kenas and bavel. Here, Rav Nachman does. That may deserve attention in terms of how that works, but Rav Nachman says therefore this is above the letter of the law, and don't bother me again while I'm judging.
How does that relate to the Kanani that got old and he returns it? But meanwhile, that guy didn't have the service of them.
Right.
Have to pay for that.
No, right. In other words, there's potential loss. In other words, and there's opportunity loss, and that opportunity loss is not gonna recover his opportunity loss. I understand that doesn't seem right. Okay, here's the Mishnah. We've heard this Mishnah already before, but this is the Mishnah, the actual Mishnah itself. We're on Sadi Vavam and Beis, starting with the Mishnah. If I steal an animal and the animal gets old, if I steal an Evikanani and it gets old, Misham Kishas Exela. So the Tanakam is of the opinion that that is considered a Shinui. You have acquired the item, and as a result of that, we go back to the time when you stole, and you appraise at the time when you stole. Rabbi Meir Omer Kavadim, I'm sorry, Rabbi Meir Omer Ba'avadim Amalucha Rishach. Now, Rameir says no. Not when it comes to an Evikanani. An Evikanani has the status of Karka. Just like Karka, there's no Gzela. Karka ain't an Gzelis. The same thing is true regarding a slave. Evid ain't an Gzelis. And so, therefore, you say with the Evikanani, even though it's 10 years later, 20 years later, we can keep pushing it out, meaning it doesn't matter. There is no Kinyan Gzela when it comes to an Evid. Gazamad Be'av and Istak. Peres v'hirkivu, yain v'hichmitz. Let's say I steal a coin of somebody's and it cracks. Right now, let's say, even though the Gemara is going to deliberate on this issue, let's say it's a physical crack in the coin. Or peres v'hirkivu, or I stole fruit and it rotted. Or wine and it soured. Misham kishas gzela. These are real physical changes in the item. And so therefore, you are koneh the item. And therefore, when you want to do tshuva and return, so you can't return this item anymore, You have to pay based on the time that it was at the point of gzela. Let's say I steal a coin and it just simply no longer served as legal tender. The coin is out of circulation. Truma v'nitmes, and truma, which becomes tame. Now, totally inedible, but there's no physical change in the truma. Chametz, and you held on to the chametz over the duration of Pesach. Chametz shavar alav Pesach. Aser behana, aser beachila, and despite that, you just simply return these items. There's no physical change in the item itself. Halachic change in the item, yes. In the case of money, just it's not going to work anymore, the money. But nevertheless, no physical changes in the items. And there, just give me a second. And therefore, you just simply return the items. So chamish avar v'lo pesach behema v'nisav debo avera. Or let's say you have an animal and you did an avera with the animal. Now the animal can no longer be used as a carbon. Oh shenifzal me'agabe mizbeach. Or you did something that disqualified it from the mizbeach. Let's say Rashi gives the example: cataract in the eye. Hardly noticeable, but enough to render the animal unfit to be the Mizbeach, right? A reference to the Gemara Nezikin. Sorry, Gemara Nezikin. That's the Perek. Reference to Gemara Gittin on Daf Nun Vav with the famous story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. That's exactly what he did with the carbon in order to render it disqualified for the Mizbeach. Osha Haisa Yotze Lisakel, or let's say the animal turns into a Shor HaNiskal under his care. That's so nice. In other words, he's a goslin. So, in all these cases, because there is no physical change in the item, as a result of that, you return the item and you simply say, Hareisha Chalafanecha. Hedi.
So, at what time, though? I mean, the thing was tummy afterward.
Yeah.
So before it was tummy, it had some value.
And when you stole it, it wasn't tummy. And you're right, and it had value. And then it becomes under your and under your care, it becomes tummy, which now makes it useless. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration by Truma Tmeya. Truma Tmeya, you could use it as fuel, you could use it as illumination. But
it does damage to the owner.
Agreed. Agreed. And in other words, there's no physical change. It's what the Gemara refers to as hezek, she'eino nikar. It's not physical to the eye, the change that's done. These are halachic changes, not physical changes. And so therefore you don't pay. Now the Gemara in Gittin talked about a kanas, talked about a penalty. We're just simply talking about the responsibility of returning the item. You are returning the item. Granted, now its value is significantly less. In some of these cases, the value is at zero. But still, no physical change means that you fulfilled the letter of the law of Heshef Zagzela. Okay? Okay, let's... Amra Papa, lo iskine iskine mamish ela afil kachsha. Rav Papa says, look, let's start off with one of the first cases that we learned together in the Mishnah, where the animal got old. Old over here, don't take so literally. Even if it gets weakened. So the Gemara says, v'ha'anan iskinan tanan. So the Gemara asks a really simple question. That's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says the animal got old. So the Gemara says, kachusha kagon iskina, delo hadabari. So the Gemara says, well, the Mishnah is just giving an example of what ends up weakening us. Age weakens us. So, but in other words, it doesn't have to be just age. It could be anything that physically weakens the animal. So the Gemara says, we're talking about age. I know we just quoted this Gemara before the Mishnah, but now it's appropriate to say this again right after the Mishnah, and that is, aging over here does not have to be that significant. As long as you move along one developmental stage later in physical maturation, so for example, it was an eagle, it now becomes a shore. It was a tle, now becomes an isle. It's not even a year later. Kano. So that is enough of aging in order for you to have acquired the animal. And again, if you were to shecht or sell the animal subsequently, it's yours, and you're not going to be on the hook to have to pay dalvehei. So he says, the halacha is correct, but you did not give proper attribution. Don't do that. When you say a halacha over, you got to give proper attribution. That was Rabbi Lai. Okay. Rabbi Meir Omer, ba'avadim amalacha, resha chalafanecha. Now we are discussing the Mishnah's case of stealing an eved and allowing the eved to become old under your care. While he's under your domain, so aging says the Mishnah machlokis between the Tanakam and Rav Meir whether that is or is not a kinyan, and really what the machlokis is between the Chacham and Rav Meir is whether Neve Kanani is legally just like karka. By karka, there's no theft when it comes to karka. Is the same thing going to be true with an Eved Kanani? In our Mishnah, the way it's brought down is that the Tana Kama says Eved is not karka in this regard, and therefore it's a kinyan, and therefore therefore you have to pay back kishas gzela. And Rav Meir says that eved is like karka. Now, generally speaking, in terms of klalei apsak, you have a machlokus in the Mishnah between a Tanakama and Rav Meir. The halacha is going to favor the Tanakama. The Tanakama is espousing the view of the Rabbim. So the Gemara now comments, and it's going to be a strange comment. Amar Rav Chanina bar Avdimi, Amar Rav Halacha ke Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav that the halacha falls like Rav Meir. The Gemara asks the obvious question: V'Rav Shavik Rabbanan V'Avid ke Rabbi Meir? Is that really appropriate? Where Rav is going to leave the Chachamim and side with Rav Meir? Amar Mishum de Braisa Ibcha Tanya. The Gemara says, okay, but Rav had a Braisa, and the Braisa taught us otherwise. That doesn't really help the cause. It's a Braisa versus a Mishnah. Gemara asks the next question: V'Rav Shavik Masisa V'Avid ke Braisa? So Rav's going to leave a Mishnah and he's going to favor a Braisa. The Mishnah has more halachic authority than that of a Braisa. So the Gemara says, Rav Masisa Nami Ibche Tani. So when Rav taught the Mishnah, so Rav had a different version of the Mishnah where he flipped the opinions of the Chachamim and Rav Meir. So it's the Chachamim who feel that an Eved is like Karka, and Rav Meir says no. So the Gemara says, "Umay time de Rav de Apik Masnisa Mekame de Braisa." So the Gemara says, "Wait 1 second." So now Rav is editing. Rav will edit a Mishnah because of a Braisa that he knows. Shouldn't it go the other way? If we have to edit, we'd be much quicker to edit a Braisa than that of a Mishnah. Use the Mishnah to show us that the Braisa is what the Gemara refers to as Mishubeshet. It's corrupted, and so therefore edit the Braisa because of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ami Rav Nami Masisa Nipcha Asnei. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. It's not that Rav edited the Mishnah. Rav had a different version of the Mishnah. So Rav's Mishnah was in agreement with the Braisa. But in other words, but it did not go like our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ibai Sema, that's one possibility. Okay, so basically Rav passed like Rav Meir. Okay, it's the easiest way to say it, the simplest way to say it. And then as to the question of, what about our Mishnah? The Chachamim disagree. So right now, our first approach is, Rav had a different version of our Mishnah. Second approach, says the Gemara, Ibai Seima, Kilo Ape, Chada Mikame Chada. No, really, Rav did not have a different version of Mishnah, he had our version of the Mishnah. And yes, he edited our Mishnah. And the question, how can you edit a Mishnah because of a Braisa? It should go the other way around. So the Gemara says, it's not that Rav had one Braisa that said, that flipped around the shitas. Rav had two braisas, so it's like it's not the greatest comparison, but like poker. Like, in other words, which hand is going to beat what? So two braisas are going to beat one mishnah in terms of which one are we going to edit. So the Gemara says chad mikam echad, chad mikam etarte apech, and the Gemara says, and once Rav had two braisas showing us that the opinions are really flipped. So then Rav went back to the Mishnah, and then Rav edited the Mishnah. Did Tanya. Now the Gemara says, now the second Braisa. The first Braisa we already know. What's the second Braisa? Amachlif Parah Bechamor. Let's say you do a barter. Now when we're talking about Chalip, and when we're talking about bartering, there are two ways to say it over. One way, to two types, I should say, of bartering. One way is what we would refer to as Kinyan Suter. Kinyan Suter is basically, it's more symbolic. I'll give you a handkerchief in exchange for that. You'll sell me whatever you sell me. Okay, it's based on the Pesukim in Rus, in the fourth parak of Rus. But that's what's referred to as Kinyan Suter. And Kinyan Suter is just basically an agreement of mine, meaning it's what you know. Similar to a handshake, in which you and I now have established that not only did we talk about this business deal, we actually agree on the business deal. Okay, that is one form of chalip, and it's called kinyan suter. That's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about a barter in the classic sense, an exchange of goods, this for that. Now, in terms of chalip, and in terms of the classic barter, so what affects the kinyan? When one item is transferred, the other item halachically also is transferred over as well. Okay, so this is a classic Kinyan Chalipin. Hamachlif Parah Bechamor. So you want my cow? Fine, I'll take your donkey. Fine, and I actually physically take your donkey. It's at that point in time now that my cow halachically is transferred over to you, even though the cow may still very well be on my property. V'yalda, cow gave birth. Mazel tov. problem, of course, now is we don't know whether the cow gave birth before he took the donkey or after he took the donkey. Cow was in the barn at the time. And then you can also have the same exact discussion regarding a Eved Kanani. I don't really mean Eved Kanani, right? Mrs. Eved Kanani, right? Shivra Kananis. Where again, now over here the Gemara does not use the word barter. Rashi's sensitive to that. Rashi says because there's no such thing as a barter as it relates to a Shivra Kananis. The way that you affect Kinyanim by Shivra Kananis is going to be Kesef Shtar V'Chazaka. Right, go back to the beginning of Kedushin. Anyway. But the same basic idea, and that is that we don't know when she delivered that baby. Now, was it before the kinyan or after the kinyan? And that, of course, is going to make the difference in terms of who the owner of the baby is. So, we're going to go over a number of different scenarios. So, scenario number one is where the original owner of the cow says, birth took place before the kinyan. Now, of course, he's going to say that, but he really believes it. And the other person on the exchange says, I don't know. Okay, so now Zachaba. So that's an easy one to deal with because we have a Tainus Bari versus a Tainus Shema. Meaning the original owner says, I know for sure. The other person says, maybe, maybe not. So a claim that is definitive is obviously going to be the claim that it's a Suffolk. Or not even a Suffolk. A simple, I don't know. The Gemara says that's easy. If both say I don't know, so then the gets divided. Now that's a funny psak because generally speaking, hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. We look at the original owner as being the mochzak, and since he's a mochzak, so she should be entitled to that baby. So why over here when both are saying I don't know when the birth took place, why then do we divide that money? So Rashi also comments over here, and Rashi says that this is following the opinion of Simchus, and the opinion of Simchus is that any money that is open for dispute that is subject to a suffix, so yachloku, that money gets divided. So, okay, that's the author of this brisa. Zamar b'rishusi v'zamar b'rishusi. And the third scenario in the brisa is where each one is making a claim they definitely know when that baby was born. So the original owner says it was born before the kinyan. The acquirer of the animal says, no, it was born after the kinyan. And everyone's saying it with absolute certainty. So yishava mochir sh'b'rishusi alda. So the seller is now going to make a shvua l'fisha kol nishman sh'b'tar nishman v'lo mishamim. Divar Reb Meir. And then when you make a shvua, so then you're going to be able to keep the animal, because that's generally how shvua works. Shvua is that you make a shvua so that you can keep money. Rare is the occasion, they're out there, but rare is the occasion where a person is going to make a shvua in order to collect money. Usually shvua is enabling a person to keep money. Now, and the Chachamim say, no, you do not make a shvua on Eved and not on Karka. Okay, now, that's the end of the brisa. What just came out at the end of that brisa is that the Chachamim say you cannot make a shvua on Eved Kanani. Where is Rav Meir standing on that issue? You can make a shvua on an Eved Kanani. How are you making a shvua on Eved Kanani? Is an Eved Kanani like Karka? Now we know we don't make a shvua on Karka. Right? One of the basic rules of shvua. So we shouldn't make a shvua on Eved Kanani as well. Obviously, the answer must be that according to Rav Meir does not equate an Eved Kanani to Karka. Oh, so this is the second brisa that Rav knew. Once Rav knew the second brisa, so now Rav says, I have two brisas speaking to this idea that Rav Meir does not equate an Eved to a Karka. So that must mean that the halacha follows in our Mishnah what looks like Rav Meir, but now we know better. It's not Rav Meir, it's really the Chachamim that Eved and Karka are not. The halacha follows like Rav Meir of the Mishnah that Eved and Karka are connected one to another. Okay, Adkan. V'inishvam, okay. So the Gemara says, Hai lach g'rameir, alach g'rabanami ba'ilei. One more point the Gemara wants to close up on this topic, and that is the wording of Rav. The wording of Rav is a little bit misleading, because he says the halacha is like Rav Meir. It's not true. Meaning, the halacha is like the Chachamim. It's just that in our Mishnah, you have to edit the Mishnah so that Rav Meir really is the Chachamim. But it's not Rav Meir, it's really the Chachamim. So why do you say the halacha is like Rav Meir? So the Gemara's answer is very simple. So hachi kamar lamai daf chisave v'tanin halacha k'Rav Meir. The Gemara says, okay, yes, eventually that's going to be the conclusion. But in the unedited version of our Mishnah, what it looks like after you read our Mishnah is that the halacha falls like Rav Meir. Okay. Top of Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph. Umi Amar Rav Avda. I'm sorry. Umi Amar Rav Avda Kamakarkei Dami. Now it comes out now, after all the editing and after everything's done, so an Eved and Karka are halachically the same. You cannot swear in Karka, you cannot swear in Eved Kanani. There's no Gzela by Karka, there's no Gzela by Eved Kanani. Okay, that's Rav, that's the halacha, that's it. That's the starting point for the next discussion. The Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Daniel bar Rav Ketina Amar Rav Tokeh ba'avdu shechaveru va'asu ba malacha pater." Let's say you were to take your evid of your friend. Okay, you go next door, grab the evid kanani of your friend, and have him work for you. Okay, it's not nice, but you did it, and are you liable to pay? So pater, you don't have to pay for the work that's done. Interesting. Now the East Agadach Avdi Kamakarke Dame Amai Pater Bershusa Demarikai. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand that for the following reason. We have just concluded that an Eved and Karka are one in the same. Now by Karka, what's the rule? Karka ain't an Gzelas. By Eved Kanani, now what's the rule? There's no Gzela. If there's no Gzela, so that Eved Kanani is going to always be under the ownership and domain of the original owner. And that means then that you're not the gazlan like we described earlier this morning, where you have your kinyan egzela, and as long as you're returning the item as is, you have relieved yourself of the obligation of heishav as egzela. But it's not true regarding an eved kanani. It is like karka. It is not subject to egzela. You should have to pay for any benefit that you receive from it. That's a strong question. So the Gemara says, okay, well maybe what we can make the argument over here is that it was not at a time of malacha. What exactly does that mean? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi's on the top line. Rashi writes, "B'shasheinu ragil la'asos malacha, o she'en achshav la'bal of malacha la'asos." Rashi offers two explanations. Either number one, it's after hours. Or number two, there's just simply nothing to be done. So right now, you took an Eved Kanani at a time where he was doing nothing. So therefore, you took your friend's Eved Kanani, and it doesn't represent a loss to your friend. Do you know what this should sound like? Reminiscent to a Gemara that we did a long time ago in Baba Kama, on Dav Chav, Chav Aleph, Zenene, V'Zelo Chaser. I benefited, but you didn't lose. And the Gemara's conclusion back then is that when we have a situation of Zenene, V'Zelo Chaser, so then you don't pay. So the Gemara says, "Shalom b'shas malacha." Ki ha deshalach le Rabbi Abba Lamari Bar Mar ba'imine Merav Huna hadar b'chatz chaver shalom idato. Okay, and the Gemara reminds us of the Gemara that we saw earlier in the Masechta. You live in your friend's property. Sarach la'alos lo schar ein sarach la'alos lo schar v'shalchu le ein ot sarach la'alos lo schar. As long as it's not a rental property, as long as you did not cause a real loss to your friend, and so you're just living on your friend's property, and he wasn't renting it out, and he wasn't planning on renting it out, so he didn't lose anything. So this is a classic example of zenene v'zelo chaser. You benefited, and your friend did not lose out. What comes out from that is that you don't have to pay. Here, similarly, zenene v'zelo chaser. I took my Eved Kanani at a time when there was no work to be done. I used him. Zenene v'zelo chaser. So the Gemara says, what a funny comparison, and is it a fair comparison? Hachi ashto, the Gemara says, I don't believe it's fair. Bishlam asam, beilam andam, beisam yasva yasiv nichalei, beilam andam, v'shaya, yukashar nichalei. So the Gemara says, do you remember back then we talked about how when you're living in somebody's house, that actually is good, it's positive. Right? Number one, you'll take care of the house. Number two, just in general, occupying a house protects it from any damage. So in other words, there is a positive to being in somebody's house, in addition to the fact that you're benefiting, he's not losing, and there's a positive in doing so. But the Gemara says, but over here, I'm taking your Eved Kanani, I'm working your Eved Kanani. Am I not weakening by working him? And so therefore the comparison may not be fair. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, no. It is a fair comparison, because if your Eved Kanani is just sitting around, so then he'll become lazy, right? And he'll become used to not doing work. So I'm doing you a favor. It's funny. It's kind of argument where you're here and you're like wince a little bit. Like, really? Gemara feels no. This is a very legitimate argument that once you get people into the habit of not working, so then they'll get used to it, and so therefore I am doing an actual favor, an actual service, in that I'm making your making your effort work. You had no work to do with it anyway. With him, I should say. You had no work to do with him anyway. And so therefore, there is a positive in me working the Eved Kenani.
The license isn't meant to take anything from you. And I say, oh, but, listen, but it's going to get rusty sitting by you. And now I'm going to work.
Okay. The
same idea.
Right. Okay. There's obviously a limit. There's a limit to this argument. Okay. You're talking about an item. We're talking about an Eved Kenani. But I do understand. Meaning, that's why I could, in other words, this argument could extend. I don't know. I don't know how much further we want to go with this argument of the Gemara. They Rav Yosef Bar Chama have a takif avdi d'enshei damasik behuzuze v'avdi b'malacha. The house of Rav Yosef Bar Chama, what they would do is that they would take an eved kenani of a borrower, and they would work the eved kenani d'enshei damasik behuzuze v'avdi b'malacha. So now Amalei Rabba Berei. So now his son goes over to the father. Okay, and this gets interesting because, you know, this happens. It happens a lot. You know, the son. You know, okay, right? The son's son's a bit of a talmid chacham. The son knows, and the son goes over to the father and says, "Dad, what are you doing? You know, you're not allowed to do that." So the Gemara Kedushin, right? Daf Lamed Lamed Aleph. So the Gemara Kedushin talks about when a son engages in this kind of conversation with the father. So there has to be a way in which the son is going to reprimand, correct, or the Gemara over there says, respectfully challenge the father in terms of what the father is doing. And here the son says to the father, Rabbi says to his father, Rav Yosef, my time I've been Amar Hachim. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. You're taking the Eved Kenani of your borrowers and you're using them and you're not paying? So the Amar of Nachman, Avda Nahum, Kreise, Lo Shave. Now, first of all, so the father says to the son, wait one second. You really think I'm getting any benefit? An Eved Kenani is not worth the food that he's eating. I got to feed this guy, and he's hardly doing anything for me. So Amar Leh. So the son sends back to the father. Amad Amar Rav Nachman could go and Daru Avdei Demarake Bekuvet. Rav Nachman said it regarding his own slave. Daru. Daru was a bit of a. Right, I'll try to say this nicely, but he was a bit of a useless creature. I didn't say nicely. Okay, I tried it and it didn't work. But he was a bit of a useless creature. Rashi over here explains that Daru was really totally incompetent, was not able, I don't know why Rav Nachman kept him, was a bit incompetent, really couldn't get his whole act together. And basically, in order to make any money whatsoever, he went to the bars that night, he danced in front of people to entertain them, okay, but he didn't have any skill per se. Okay, so Bekuve Kulo Avde Ma'avid Avde, but generally speaking, an Eved Kenani is useful, and there's a value to that usage. And again, the son's asking his father, "How can you take somebody else's Eved Kenani and work somebody else's Eved Kenani?" Amalei Anakar of Daniel Svirli, Damar of Daniel Bar Rav Ketina Amar Rav Atoke Ba'avdo Shachaver Va'asubam Malacha Pater Ama Nichalei Delalistri Avde. So now Rav Yosef says to his son, "But wait one second. Remember what we just learned together in the Daf, and that is that what do you mean? If as long as the person is not using his Eved Kenani, he's happy with the fact that I'm taking his Eved Kenani and working the Eved Kenani so he doesn't get lazy." So, and again, this is Zen Nen of Zelo Chaser. And so now, in round three, the son says to the father, "But Dad, Amar Leh Hani Mili Hecha Delo Masik Buhu Zuze Mar Kevin De Masik Buhu Zuze Mechse Karibis." Wait one second. You're taking your borrower's Eved Kenani. So you're right. Under the general laws of Zen Nenev is a lo chaser, what you're doing is fine. But these are now your borrowers, and it looks like mechze. It looks like now you're getting a fringe benefit in addition to the loan. And as a result of that, it's mechze karibis, rabbinically prohibited. So the Amra of Yosef Bar Minyumi, Amra of Nachman, Afa Pisha Amra, Hadabachat Sechaver Shalamidato, and Tzarchla Lososchar, Hilvalva Dabachat Sechaver, Tzarchla Lososchar. So the Gemara says, we know that when squatting in someone else's property, even though under the umbrella of Zen Nenev Zelochaster, it would be fine, but if it is a borrower of yours, you cannot do that because it looks like interest, it looks like ribbis. Amrale Hajrabi. So finally, the father says to his son, you know what? That point's excellent. You're right. And I'm not going to do that again. There is an important Tosfos over here. I'm just going to highlight it. And that is that every time you have a borrower, any, which sounds, certainly sounds like from the Gemara, any additional benefit that you receive from the borrower looks like ribbis. And so Toso says, is this an absolute, that if you have a bar, you lend somebody money, you can't get any, you can't borrow something from him, you can't get any fringe benefit, because it looks now as if you're getting additional benefit to the loan, and therefore it makes like a ribbis. So Tosus discusses that, second Tosus on this Amud, it's really important. It really, Tosus talks about limitations to this basic idea that I can't get a fringe benefit from my borrower. Let's just do. I know the time is late. Let's just do one. Let's just get to the next two dots. Let's go one more station into the Gemara. Itmar tokes v'nasosha chaver v'asaba malacha. Let's say I take my friend's boat and I do work with my friend's boat. In other words, I just take it and I use it. So Amarav Ratsa Schara Nata Ratsa Pichsa Notel. So in terms of the owner could take either the renter's fee or the depreciation of the boat. He has the option. Obviously, he's going to choose whichever is greater. Shmuel Amar Eino Notel El Pichsa. Now Shmuel says, no, you can only take the depreciation, but you can't take rent. Amar Papa Lo Pligi. Now Papa says, now really, truth be told, there's no debate between Rav and Shmuel. Hada Avdalagra, Hadala Avdalagra. It depends whether or not the boat is meant to be rented or not meant to be rented. If the boat is meant to be rented, so then you're going to go with Rav. So now we're talking about a rental boat meant to be rented, and so therefore the person's taking it is renting it. Now it happens to be that if the depreciation is greater than the rent, so then he's going to take the depreciation, right? When you rent, right, over Chol HaMoed, I rented a boat. So obviously, you sign your life away, and you sign the waivers, and the contract says that if you damage the boat, so you're going to pay for the damages, obviously, you know, especially if it exceeds that which you're renting it for. So, but if it's the boat is not meant to be rented, so you know what you are, you're a Gazlan. And then for a third time this morning, we're now introducing ourselves to this idea that as a Gazlan, so as long as you return the item as it is, so then you don't have to pay anything above that. Now again, goes back to that idea of, seems a little bit unfair, meaning you're a Gazlan, and now you don't have to pay for the benefits, and that's part of the idea of Kinyan Gzela. Or the Gemara says that we'll start with the assumption that they're not disagreeing, and really it is it's a rental, and it's now a question of what your intent is. If your intent when you took it is that you plan on renting it, so fine. So then, once again, you'll pay the rental fee or you'll pay depreciation, whichever is greater. If you really had no interest in renting it, you want to be a Gazlan, so then you're a Gazlan, and therefore you steal it. And so therefore you don't have to pay. Now, does that mean he got away with it? So the simple answer is yes. He got away with it. But keep in mind, he violated the Torah. He's a Gazlan. Two, as a Gazlan, he can no longer serve in the court system. Three, his reputation is totally ruined. Meaning, yes, a Gazlan does not have to pay for the service that he benefited. But let's not lose the fact that he's a Gazlan. Okay.